Hey guys, quick interjection for quick editor's note, I guess you'd call it. We had apparently the last few minutes, 10 minutes or so of James's audio is not included. We're not really sure what happened, but it was pretty late into the episode and when we were just doing our character spotlight, which we got most of the way through. My audio is still there, just because since I record directly into GarageBand, and I didn't close it between editing and recording. I did my best to cut around James's section, so partway through the character spotlight, you will not be hearing James. I did my best to try to make sense. But, you know, how that goes, it's usually with mixed results. We did start recording, but didn't start the actual episode. So this episode actually has a stinger. So stay tuned after the closing music for that. Which, I have some controversial opinions about certain characters of Steven Universe. Which you I'll put it in the time code down like I always do. I don't know what I'm gonna title it. I'm probably gonna title it like bonus dinger or something like that. Bonus. I'm gonna title it bonus. I'm gonna make that decision now. Make that decision live. You are witness to that. So, I see you in about 30 seconds or so when you hear the episode. Hey guys, second editor's note. So James actually got me his audio, which had the entirety of it there, so I had to slice it back in. So you will be hearing James towards the end. I haven't spliced it yet, so I'm about to do my best, but don't get mad at me. Or do you? Yeah, whatever. Hi, welcome to Axon Archives, where we watch every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Wars. I'm Daoud.
I'm James.
And this episode, we're starting Season 2. Season 2, Episode 1, 27 overall, aired Aftermath, which aired October 26, 1997, so 3 days before my 6th birthday.
Huh.
This episode was directed by Colin Davies and written by Larry DiTilio. This is actually the third of five episodes that Davies will direct. He's the offline editor for the series and currently an effects supervisor, notably working for George Romero movies.
Nice.
Yeah. And, of course, we know Larry DiTilio. He's the co-showrunner. His and Bob Ford's episodes tend to be more important to the overall narrative, and this is the 7th of 11 that he writes.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize we were past his halfway point.
Yeah, I believe Bob Ford writes like 18 episodes total. Yeah. So this episode will introduce the concept of transmetals. And I felt that the characterizations at the very least, Black Arachne and Megatron get very fleshed out with this episode.
Yeah, no, this is a very good episode. This is like a really good. So to like come in strong in the series, like it literally picks up where the others left off. Like it opens up with them like replaying a bit of the end of season one and seeing the death of Optimus, and then just like goes on from and then like immediately picks up from there.
Yeah. So we start with the quantum with the wave that we saw at the end of the episode, where they had the end question mark playing over it.
Because I was going to say, remember, last time on Beast Wars, Optimus totally died.
Yeah. He bit it big time.
Mm-hmm.
So at both the bases, both teams are reacting to Optimus' death. The Maximals are in shock, and the Predacons are actually having a good time.
They're celebrating.
Honestly, it pans up from a little view screen they got, and it basically looks like they're watching a football game together and cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that little wave we saw coming out is actually apparently called a quantum surge, and it's coming down to the planet. They all need to put up shields because we don't actually know what the quantum surge is, I believe, but we know it's not bad. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't know what it is either. Although, I will say, something I kind of like paying attention to this episode is I remember in Chain of Command when, Optimus put Rat Trap in charge, and I remember making fun of, oh, come on, Rat Trap, he's not a leader. Here he actually shows being, since most of the other, a lot of the other Maximals are out, Rhinox is out, Optimus is obviously gone, Dinobot's not there to butt heads. He actually takes control of the whole thing and he's the first one to snap out of, their kind of, slack-jawed state of Optimus dying and, order him to basically, take cover as the surge comes in. So, maybe Rattrap actually could be a leader if he wasn't, always a craven coward.
Yeah.
Just saying, props to Rattrap.
Yeah. Rattrap's like a spare tire. Uh-huh. He gets you, he's there when you need him. He'll get you to the next gas station, but it's not a good idea to drive cross country with him.
All right.
I think I might have made that analogy before.
I never heard that one, but that was pretty good.
I mean, specifically for Rattrap. But so the quantum surge hits, and for some reason, Cheetor and Rattrap are the only ones who are awake that are affected by the quantum surge.
Yes, they are.
They start glowing as if they have some glow-in-the-dark redecos.
Yeah, I was coming in, it looks like they were bombarding, by cosmic rays, and, are going to turn into, the Fantastic Four.
Wait, speaking of which, so Air Razor, sees the cosmic rays, let's just call them, bombarding her, lifts her hands up and looks back and forth. She's, completely unaffected.
Yeah, no. One thing we'll find out is Cheetor and Rattrap are affected, and we cut to the Predacon base. Most of the Predacons start affected, though Megatron is the only one who gets transmetalized. But for reasons that are stated, we'll find out that none of the Earthborn Transformers are affected by the quantum surge, and anyone who was in a CR chamber was protected.
Yeah, they were just shielded against it. But we actually, just cutting to the dark side, the surge rocks it a lot harder than did the Axelon. Wasp Rider falls into a CR pool, which he's shielded from the surge. Megatron, Scorponok, and Pterosaur actually catch the full effect. Scorponok and Pterosaur crash into each other with their platforms and fall into the lava.
Yeah.
But we actually do see them turning transmetal before they fall in.
And the last shot is a Terminator 2 style, Pterosaur reaching his hand up as he falls into the lava.
Yeah. Megatron fell to the floor. Yeah, yeah, my notes actually say that Scorponok and Pterosaur are terminated.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, it's kind of who would have thought having open lava and standing on fragile platforms could backfire or be a safety hazard?
I mean, the real question is, why did the flyer die?
Pterosaur kind of sucked. Too bad. Although they actually do get lines, so I guess, the voice actors did get to come in and record something. I always assumed, they were probably mute. I mean, they don't say anything too much. There was a bit of a dialogue exchange where Megatron gloats and says, okay, now we gotta go and finish them off for real before the quantum surge hits.
Yeah, so I never got to see this. I don't think I saw this episode when it's the original run. The scene of Pterosaur going to lava Terminator style is part of the credits, but I never actually saw that happen. So in my mind as a kid, Scorponok and Pterosaur just disappeared around the beginning of season two.
Oh, I guess we should say, yeah, the opening is the same song, but the footage has been updated with a lot of stuff from Aftermath Part 2, and then some stuff from this and a bit of a couple of shots of some new characters we're going to be getting in the next few episodes.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the new opening for this season.
Yeah. Technically, it spoils something in the sense that, like, it's going to happen in the episode, though they are smart enough to keep Primal out of it. Keep that surprise in the bag, at least.
Yeah. Listeners, if you are listening to this, and when I put the link up, if you don't want any spoilers for some reason, just wait until episode 4.
Huh.
I think you'll be okay then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Waspinator later comes out of the CR pool and is very, very grateful to be alive.
Yeah.
Which I believe is an in-joke, because Waspinator was originally supposed to die in this episode, but Bob Ford and Larry Tilio actually grew to like him a lot, so they and he's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Was he the second fan-chosen Hall of Famer?
I think so.
Yeah, first is Dinobot.
Yeah. Yeah, his exact line was like, Waspinator is alive!
he turns over to the side and sees Megatron's in the shadows, and he's apparently changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, during his quantum search, he was glowing white.
Yeah.
Then back at the Axelon, the Maximals realize the Surge has changed Rattrap and Cheetor. They have their robot modes are a little more organic.
Yeah,
line between robot and beast has been blurred.
Yeah, so they've been turned into transmetals, which is... It's never exactly defined what that means. Other than that, it means we have new toys, but, like, it kind of... But, like there's kind of a bit... Like, their beast modes are very robot-y, and you come to get a bit of beast textures on their robot modes. So, kind of idea inside out. But the other thing that we get that is a new thing is they now get a third vehicle mode, which I'm doing quotes, that's not quite like, say, a Generation 1 style triple changer. Rattrap reveals that he has basically has a car mode where two wheels from his sides can come down and exhaust pipes from his back. And
considering like the angle that his body sort of takes, or the angle shape that his body takes, I like to think of him as a dragster.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Cheetor has like jets, like where right around his rib cage, which give him a flight mode.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Rattrap also. Not only is he a cool hot rod now, he's complete with primarily hot rod red color scheme now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least in his beast mode.
Yeah, he looks much more heroic than like you'd expect Rattrap would be, given the fact again he is kind of the coward of the group.
Yeah. Oh, and when they both transform into their beast mode, they're sort of both like growling / snarling, like their beast modes are a little bit more wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they both try to test out their vehicle modes, but unfortunately, their moms never told them don't play with your toys inside.
Yeah,
because they both crash.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't throw your toys to replicate for a flight. It's a bad idea.
They're all wondering why Optimus didn't eject from the pod. Even though he may have died in the transwarp explosion, why didn't he at least get out of the pod?
Yeah.
Rattrap says, I don't know, but I know who will. Grabs his gun out of his back and points at where Black Arachne was standing.
Mm.
She decided to hightail it while they're all knocked out and admiring themselves.
Yeah, she was actually the first one up. Was willing to just abandon to get out of there in the first place. But finds out quickly that Tarantulas is still in her head, is still hitchhiking in her brain, and wants her to get his body for unknown reasons.
Yeah, she's wondering where Tarantulas is, and this leads to a kind of an uncomfortable scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what was the exact line? I'm in your pretty little head, controlling your pretty little body.
Yeah.
And in the mental image, he's like he's a giant ghost specter over her, like, and has her strapped to a web.
Yeah. Tarantulas is taking a turn for the creepy, or at least extra creepy.
Yeah, he's dialed up. He was kind of at a 10 already. He kind of dialed up to 11 at least.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which you might be asking, why not just have it have 10 be the maximum anyways?
Yeah.
Because his creepy dial goes up to 11.
True.
Yeah. So he tells her to go get his body before they leave. When she goes to get it, Inferno's body is also there. And apparently he can survive getting shot point blank in the head.
Yeah.
Oh. Which is neat.
Yeah, some quick notes about Tarantulas' body. It's curled up like an actual dead spider, which is a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that it has changed too, though we won't get a clear shot of what it actually looks like until the next episode.
Here's a question, though.
Sure.
He quote unquote died in robot mode.
Right.
But there, it looks like he's in beast mode.
Right.
Yeah. So probably no explanation for that. Just
reflex?
Sure. Transformation reflex in a dead body.
Look, it's all I got right now.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting an explanation at all. I was just thought at the very least we should note that.
Uh-huh.
Continuity error. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dinobot and Rhinox wake up and they're brought up to speed, and Dinobot tries to get leadership of the Mackles again before Rhinox shows him why he's wrong in a way he can understand.
Yeah, this is a good exchange. This is like, by what right do you command me? With Optimus gone, I should be. And then Rhinox grabs him the neck and picks him up. He's like, I'm in a bad mood. Understand? Which Dinobot is a little, uh-huh.
Yeah, so Dinobot is the tallest of all the Maximals, and Rhinox is holding him up with his feet dangling underneath him.
Yeah. Oh, there is one thing we should mention. Before Rhinox wakes up, he gets a vision of Optimus dying, and then sees a spark coming out of the explosion, and it forms like an energy silhouette of Primal briefly. Stick a pin in that. Like, we'll come back to this next episode.
I'm also realizing something about the silhouette, which we'll bring up next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the spiders escape the base, but Airazor and Tigertron are just outside waiting for them. And Airazor, gonna call back to the last episode, punches her in the face again.
Yeah.
But Megatron and Waspinator show. Megatron being one to not let a chance to kick someone while they're down go by, shows up with the full Predacon force, which is just Waspinator.
Yeah. Yeah. We also this is not Black Arachnia's day. She gets she's just having a bad day. She didn't even get a cool upgrade. Where once Megatron, she's just like. Megatron, am I so glad to see you? Before like Megatron like knocks her over and is like, give me a good reason why I don't just vaporize you here and there. To which she actually pulls off a good reason, where she notes that, like, well, since it's just you and Waspinator, I'm guessing you're down on troops, so you kind of need me. To which he begrudgingly admits he has a point, but don't cross him again.
Yeah, I think this is a good point to actually take inventory of the characters. So, on the Maximal side, Rhinox and Dinobot were offline in NTR chambers. Primal is dead, so that leaves Rattrap and Cheetor as transmetals. Tigertron and Airazor are kind of where they were before last episode. Each side has 7, so that's the entire Maximal roster. On the Predacon side, Inferno and Black Arachnia are right where they were. Tarantulas is out of commission for the moment. Pterosaur and Scorponok are dead. Waspinator's where he was, and Megatron is now a transmetal.
Yeah. So yeah, Megatron starts. It's actually kind of bold for Megatron to decide, yeah, I'm gonna finish him off. Optimus. Who cares if I only have one guy and don't know where the rest of my guys are?
Oh yeah, something we in her really masterful get massive a way of getting spared, she does mention that the Maximals are still at full strength. Yeah. So, because there's a Predacon outside, the alert goes off inside the Axelon, and Cheetor and Rattrap go out to handle it. Well, Rhinox orders them to go out, which is a fun little moment from Rattrap, because he just says, "Yes, sir." Just leaves. Rhinox and Dinobot try to get the Sentinel back online, but Inferno shows up and blasts Rhinox with a missile, which Dinobot, in a show of actually good thinking, just rushes him.
Yeah.
Because he knows Inferno's got better firepower. Yeah. Besides his eye laser, does Dinobot actually have any long-range weapons?
No, that's it. Although, we do get a kind of funny line from Inferno, where so, like, Dinobot knocks waves up and charges in, and is like, "I don't need a weapon to beat you, traitor!" Which is funny when you think about it, because technically, depending on how you look at it, but Inferno was a traitor since he was supposed to be a Maximal and the gun got subverted to the Predacons.
I mean, he was technically born a Predacon, is that...
So depending on how you count it with Proto. Yeah. I just found it kind of a funny, but maybe not intentionally funny line from Inferno.
That's true, yeah. Speaking of funny lines from Inferno, you notice that every time he says the word royalty, he does a Ten Hut?
Yes. I swear, he also tries to see, he can get more R's out of it every time he says it.
The royalty.
Yes. I would love to, I would love to see, if there were, recording sessions where just, Jim Burns, if I remember the voice actually, would just, try to get as much out of it, out of, every royalty line as he could, and just, some of them had to be cut because they were too absurd.
I imagine Jim Burns and Scott McNeil were probably just the most fun to watch during those recording sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, although Scott McNeil would probably be a lot more entertaining to watch if he looked the way he does now. Because, you saw him at a con, a few months ago. He still had, long hair and the cowboy hat?
I didn't know. I didn't see Scott McNeil. I just saw David Kaye.
Oh, okay. Well, the last picture I saw, Scott McNeil has looks like a country singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, Tarantula tries to makes Black Arachne retreat and she kind of just sneaks off, tugging his body behind her.
Yeah, and she actually objects. She's like, "Look, I'm already on thin ice. I don't want to get killed." It's like, "No, do it."
Yeah.
Which Megatron immediately yells at her, for betraying him again.
Yeah, Waspinator and Cheetor, they fight. I think Waspinator actually blasts Cheetor off the cliff, right?
Yeah, Waspinator blasts Cheetor off the cliff. He's like falling to his doom until he can remember as he can fly. To which we get a great line from Waspinator. He's like, "Huh? Catbot can fly?"
I wish he could fly in robot mode too. Yeah, I mean those jets are kind of tiny, but still.
Yeah, I mean there's no technical reason. There's no technical reason why he has to just be in Cheetor, because again, even on robot mode, that's still technically his chest, still be pointing the right way. But then just we need to still have a reason for them to be in beast mode. Because we'll find how we find out of this episode, but the world has changed quite a bit from this. Mm.
Yeah, what was it? I want to talk about Cheetor's beast mode new transmetal body for a second.
Sure.
I really, really hate it. I'm not a huge fan of this, but I do really hate his hands.
Oh, you mean how they're his beast mode head?
Yeah. They're his beast mode head and his, which basically gives him, pincers for actual hands.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Where a lot of the new redesigns give hands to characters who didn't have them, but Cheetor kind of loses them in a weird way.
Yeah. It's just It's terrible. I'm not a huge fan of his robot head either. I like his beast mode, all right, but his robot mode is not a huge fan of. I can't wait till Fail Scream. Yeah, so, Kira can fly now, too. He actually outmaneuvers Waspmaner somehow, which I think might just be more firepower rather than skill in flying.
Yeah, at one point, I think, like, he hunkers down on the Axelon and takes out his new weapon, which is a tail, and uses it to, like, whip away Waspinator's gun, and I think, like, pins him, which Waspinator says, "Waspinator, never surrender," which, that's very bold of you, Waspinator. Even though you tend to get blown up.
That's why, yeah, he doesn't need to surrender, he knows he'll survive.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, things aren't going quite so good for, Rat Trap. Where we get to see, this is when we finally get to see, Megatron's full new form in the flesh, and or chrome, as it were, where I really like Transmetal's Megatron's design. That's like, for me, like the definitive Megatron, where it's a combination of like copper, like he still has like his main body color is like copper, but he still has like a lot of purple, like the dinosaur head's purple.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has two hands, and he still uses his tails, but now it's this kind of like flexible claw thing that can shoot lasers, and he mostly out firepowers Rat Trap, who, and I guess a new thing is he can take off some of his hubcaps to use as like a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they also get into like a game of chicken where Megatron unveils his new vehicle mode, which is basically he gets VTOL fans and rollerblades.
Yeah. Which, one thing we should mention is, Rat Trap was a motorcycle on Cybertron, so he actually has more experience with this particular, with his vehicle mode, and knows how to use it better.
Right.
Granted,
that comic was written after the series, but still, I get what you're going for.
Yeah, I mean, he's better with his vehicle mode than Megatron is, because he's more maneuverable.
Huh.
Yeah. So they play chicken, and at the last minute, Rat Trap just stiffens his tail and swerves sideways, tripping him. Oh, actually, speaking of all the chrome, I love all the chrome in the Transmetals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She don't need more chrome. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's his main problem.
Yeah. No. This is definitely like them. Like, all right, let's do all sorts of, like, crazy, like, Gerard shading and reflections on all of our stuff. Like, that was big in, like, this time.
Also, something that really works well for Megatron's new beast mode, because of all the teeth, he looks like he's constantly just smiling really smugly.
Yeah. Yeah, his face, his beast mode face is a bit more expressive. Like, it was sometimes kind of hard, like, don't get me wrong, I love, like, beast wars, like, original Beast Wars makes and his, like, stubby arms gesturing. But, like, since he didn't really, like, they didn't really have lips, it was kind of hard to get some, like, more emotions with him, and I think they kind of cheat, even though, like, obviously it still doesn't have lips, but since it's, like, metal, it's much more easy to give him mixed facial expression.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he transforms, starts shooting, and Cheetor, Cheetor goes to fence after Waspinator retreats. Although we get two good Cheetor lines back to back. We get like, "Hey, nobody bugs out on this cat." And then when he sees Rat Trap, he's like, "Hang on, Rat Trap, Air Cheetor is coming in." To which is less than effective.
Yeah. He circles back around in flight mode, but because Cheetor didn't actually have a flight mode ever, he doesn't know, he's not very good with it and crashes right into Rat Trap.
Yeah. To which Megatron says, "New packaging, same product. Losers." Just burying the new gimmick.
So back inside the Axelon, Inferno and Dinobot are still wrestling each other when Rhinox just grabs Inferno by the head and tosses him down the elevator shaft. Yeah, which Megatron, this is when Megatron realizes Inferno's still alive. Yay! But he's outgunned and outnumbered, so he just goes into beast mode, starts flying and then uses his new clamp feet to just grab Inferno and fly off.
Yeah, we also get a great Inferno line. It's like, royalty, you've come for me.
Just... yeah, sure, Inferno, why not? Just go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is when Rattrap gets a really pretty good line. I think the Beast War just got a whole lot weirder as he sees the T-Rex with rollerblades flying off.
Yeah. But he doesn't know just how weird it's going to get, because we cut to one last scene. Where we cut to a desolate plane with, like, thunders, but, like, two malfunctioning stasis pods. Like, the computer voice is, like, very distorted. And then we end with a hand bursting through the pod.
And that's the final moment of this episode.
Yep.
But which of our coming characters do you think this is that broke his hand through?
Well, given the fact that it actually looks like a hand, it's probably Silverbolt.
Yeah. Also coloring.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. And not to spoil, like, Hookstrike doesn't have real hands. One's a snake and one's like legs.
Yeah. But I guess that's why Scorpion kind of had to die. It's good. You can have two spiders, but you can't have two male scorpions around.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the episode. I liked it.
Oh yeah, no, it's a good start of it. Like, you get, you pick stuff from the media, like, introduce his new stuff. Kind of like, it lets you, kind of like, lets the mystery of Optimus sit, because, like, you don't know, like, are they just gonna let him die? Because they don't immediately, like, resurrect him in this episode.
Yeah, but remember what we said before, they learned a lesson, don't do that, don't kill an Optimus unless you're, it's gonna be the end of the series. Yeah.
Spoilers, it's coming back, but not this episode.
Yeah. Which I actually forgot that he didn't come back this episode. So, yeah, that was good. Did we have any trivia to talk about before we get to the character spotlight?
I don't think so. Like, I think we already mentioned that, when you see Pterosaur and Scorpion glowing his energy with Transmetal's energy, which the writers put in there as an out just in case they needed to bring either of them back. Which apparently they did in the IDW Beast Wars comics, but I haven't read all those yet, so I can't say what that does.
Yeah, and I think they just say that they basically just went into Stasis Lock in the lava, and they woke up later. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do get a transmetal. They both get a transmetal form, which really isn't seen outside of the Ancillary media.
Speaking of which, let's get to our character spotlight. A memorial for Scorponok and Pterosaur.
It's more of a memorial for Scorponok, because we didn't actually go over him in any real depth.
Yeah, we did get Pterosaur before, but I did want to give a shout-out to his transmetal form, which we didn't mention, where... I remember kind of liking this toy, where it's, kind of got these, like, nice gangly arms, can, like, take off his flaps and, like, use them as, like, blades. He does have one of the less convincing vehicle modes where, let me draw a picture in the chat just so we can both talk about it. Brandon, I also think it did. So, yeah, where he has, like, two little things that can flip up, revealing VTOL engines and, like, his back, which can, like, reveal some rocket engines, like, which is not the most impressive, but, hey, it's a gimmick. He does have a new tech spec bio, which I'm going to read off, because it's pretty good. A quantum surge has altered the structure of the tyrannical Pterosaur, turning him into a jet-powered vehicle-like pterodactyl with an unfettered rage for Maximal. Pterosaur was once known as fearless. This Pterosaur is definitely not fearless. But if Pterosaur was once known as fearless, his new armory has made him a kamikaze. Hidden jet thrusters leave a trail of fire, as we can often ignite the terrain below, a fact that tickles his twisted humor circuits endlessly. Fierce talons and turbine spikes offer a dangerous arsenal that keeps him involved in his favorite activity, battling Maximals. Yeah, so that's Transmetal Pterosaur, which would get repainted into like a couple things. And they also brought it, I forgot, they also brought it back for Armada, weirdly.
But actually, speaking of repaints, so he did get a, like, not sure accurate original toy, but which did get repainted in Japan to be more show accurate. The beak is yellow, and they got rid of the purple and the green spots all over his beast mode. Yeah, which I was trying to find a picture of that, but because I just wanted to put that up, but I couldn't find one.
Yeah, weirdly not on the TF Wiki. Kind of surprised about that. Anyway, so let's get to Scorponok, who we did not actually cover at all in the show because we weren't doing character spotlights before. Yeah. So we start off by reading his tech spec, which is the searing heat of the Mojave Desert turns into a dry, barren wasteland, a place where only the strong survive, a place the vicious Scorponok calls home. With hidden robotic technology incorporated into its scorpion body structure, this desert attack specialist surprises enemies three different ways: by launching its robotic bee, firing a two-shot missile blast, by using its terrifying tail for poisonous strikes. Oh, yeah, no. But there's all stuff he can do. Like, I think, like, part of my fondness for Scorponok, even though he's, like, kind of a bland character in the show sometimes, is I had that toy, and I kind of like the gimmick. Like, he had, like, the bee claw, he had missiles, like, he had the tail, and I kind of liked his face gimmick, where it, like, kind of had, like, covered his face, kind of like a filtration mask, almost kind of looking like a Space Marine from 40K, although I'm sure that's a coincidence. So, if you have the actual toy, like, be warned, like the bee sometimes wears down, so it's sometimes hard to keep it fixed in claw mode sometimes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Rings.
But yeah, unlike Pterosaur, he never got a Transmetal form. Like, the only other toy Scorponok got was a McDonald's Happy Meal promotion, which is a very uncomplicated toy.
Let me see this thing.
I'm sorry. He did. That McDonald's toy is technically a Transmetal toy, since it was for the season 2 of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously lacks a vehicle mode. Yeah. I mean, it's like a Happy Meal toy, so yeah, you just, like, flip up the legs and, like, move the claws together. I mean, what do you expect? Yeah, there isn't too much.
Well, I mean, I had the Beast Machine Black Arachnia Happy Meal toy. Like, that was a little more complex than this was. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Let's see. So there's not too much to say about Scorponok, particularly since it's only a season 1. Although, one thing that's kind of funny is when he was originally revealed at Toy Fair, he had a different color scheme, where it had bright orange with, like, purple claws. Which is apparently entirely transparent plastic page, which I imagine made it be very, very fragile at the time. Probably because they didn't go with that.
So these are, honestly, the two more forgettable. Oh, okay, Scorponok is definitely the more forgettable of pretty much the entire cast. But, like I said a few weeks ago, like, Pterosaur was growing on me towards the end.
Yeah, I kind of liked how they were, like, kind of, like, putting him into, like, a field lieutenant, but then, like, also getting frustrated that no one was following him. I actually felt that was kind of a, like, weirdly a way of kind of making him more Starscream than just relying on, like, betraying. Because, like, that's the thing of, like, Gen 1 Starscream. Like, he is supposed to be, like, an air commander and competent, and that's why, like, Megatron doesn't just, like, murder him all the time. Or, like, yeah, so... Yeah, of course, Scorponok had a, in the Japanese dub, did have a weird verbal tic, where in his chance he would chant dang, aura, 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 which, I don't know if that's supposed to be a JoJo's reference. Apparently, yeah. And then, apparently he also had a very thick American accent, which is weird. And Blur was like a baby, so... It's weird. I'm sure if he made it into like the second season, it would get even more ridiculous. It would get even more ridiculous because like Beast Wars Metal is where they have the more ridiculous things. Like I was reading up on the Japanese dub of this episode, and apparently when Rat Trap and Cheetah first see each other, they keep saying like Pika Pika, which is supposed to be glittery, but it's also them like very much trying to capitalize on Pokemon at the time. Yeah. And of course, one thing I didn't mention is due to the fact that like Scorponok shares a name with a much more popular Generation 1 character, he doesn't really appear in much other fiction. There's like a couple like convention things where he showed up, and obviously some of like the Beast Wars expanded fiction, but you're not really going to see him like show up in like Lost Light or something because, again, there's a much more famous Scorponok they could use. So that's Pterosaur and Scorponok. Like sorry guys, Lost Meteor was more popular than you, so you had to die.
So that's our spotlight. We don't really have much for the Golden Disc. We have contacted everyone who we have scheduled to guest for this season. We're just waiting on one or two people to get back to us, but everyone else has confirmed. So we will be having, I believe, a total of about 5 guests this season.
Yeah.
Which honestly, except for this episode, is pretty much...
That's 5 times more than we had... That's 5 times more than we had last season.
Speaking of which, one of our returning guests actually will be Lewis again. So he will be holding the record for so far. Which honestly, pretty much every episode that's not a multi-parter besides this one, we're gonna have a guest on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I'm gonna call that our Golden Disc messages from the Golden Disc. So yeah. Yep. So I started James Hoocher MVB.
I'm gonna give it to Rattrap because that scene in the beginning of him like kind of stepping up and taking command, and obviously he kind of gives it up as soon as like there's someone else who like would rather take leadership, but like he does it. He also has a and they're also, we didn't do this line earlier, but an attempt to like see how much like crap they can like have Rattrap say and get away with it, and what is supposed to be a children's cartoon when Tigertron and Ares are first even like gasp at him being transmitted, he's like, "What's with you two? Is my gearbox hanging out or something?"
And he does motion to his pants area.
Yeah. Oh, Rat Trap. Never change.
So my MVB, I'm gonna give it to Rat Trap also, but with an honorable mention to Blackarachnia for quick thinking.
Yeah, we should give it to she isn't gonna get much. Like this is like this this season in particular, is a lot more plot focused. Like there are very few episodes that I would say like one off episodes. Like I don't want to use filler because like that's a super because like that tends to be a pretty derogatory term at this point. But like there's a lot of plot centric and like a lot, and Black Arachnia will be getting increasingly a lot of spotlight in the episodes to come.
Which in fact, someone actually wanted to be on one of our episodes, on which episode was it? The one where, oh right, I think it was Crossing the Rubicon, specifically because they love the relationship between Black Arachne and a character that's coming up.
Yeah, very soon, in fact.
Yes. So soon, in fact, that it's a good segue to our next episode preview. So, next episode, Dinobot breaks into the Predacon base and steals the Golden Disc. Meanwhile, two oddly misshapen Transformers emerge from their stasis pods in Coming of the Few Azores, Part 1.
Ooh.
Yeah. But which Few Azor will it be?
Yes.
Anything else?
No, I think that's everything.
Alright. So, thank you for listening to the Axon Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach us on Twitter at Axon Archives, or by email at axonarchives@gmail.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. Check out our website at axon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter individually, I'm at Dalfak.
I'm at Discord_Inc.
And until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the baddest. Cool. Oh, I should have asked you like where you were in Steven Universe before we started recording.
Steven found out that Amethyst is born on Earth.
Uh-huh. Oh, have you done watched on the Run yet?
Yes.
Ah, that's a really good episode.
I am fairly sure that after Rose left the physical plane. I think because they both missed her. I think Amethyst might have shapeshifted into her, and those two had a thing.
We do get a lot of information about like Greg's relationships with the other gems, especially complicated relationships with Amethyst and Pearl.
Yeah, I kind of know about what his relationship with Pearl sort of is, just because of. Because I know what her reason for fighting is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Greg is a fantastic episode when you get to it.
Yeah, I'm honestly not a huge fan of... Okay, I feel like Pearl like isn't really breaking out of her role as a Pearl, because she's sort of still just fighting for Rose.
Well, I mean, she actually did break out of her role of being a Pearl, because Pearls are just supposed to be, like, servants, as you'll find out, as I forget what they go into. I mean, she definitely does need to... She definitely has still hung up on Rose, and she does get over it, and she does do a lot of bad stuff. Like, Rose is kind of my favorite, just as, like, I can kind of sympathize, like, being in control, but also being, like, very anxious about what's going on and when stuff starts going out of plan.
Rose's voice actress is actually from my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, which one?
Hercules. She's Megara.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that. That's one I probably actually need to watch at some point. Like, that was one...
I know, like, the entire cast list, so I recognize their voices pretty easily.
Yeah, that was one I missed when it originally came out, because I was, like, kind of getting old, like, at least a few of myself was getting too old for Disney movies. It's like, and like, they're like a run of hits, the ones that I was not interested at all, like Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I'm not that interested in those two, to be honest.
Yeah. They are,
but,
yeah. So I kind of missed out on Hercules, and it's one that, like, I was like, I probably should go back and revisit, because it would at least be fun. And James Woods' Hades is great, even if James Woods is a terrible person in real life, from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that, but yeah, he loves doing Hades, and will, like, if they ask him to come back, he'll probably say yes for, like, every project.
I think I remember reading that, like, he was so loved doing the character, like, he like, learned foreign languages to do the role in other languages.
Holy crap.
Like, he really likes Hades.
Oh, like, that might explain why the Greek one kind of does sound like him.
Yeah.
Like, or if you the scene, like, so there's a scene where the Fates give a prophecy to Hades, and if you listen to it in the Greek, it's kind of terrifying because they really went with the whole the Fates are these scary old crones and witches. So they're kind of terrifying to me, and with the Greek dub. Yeah. Oh, so anyway, so we should actually get to.
Yeah.